Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:09 news, or actually 8:10 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Julio Diaz is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Also, Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock on Saturdays. Although, you know, sometimes football preempts him, so sorry about that. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Yeah, that will be the case this weekend, unfortunately. We will be preempted by FSU football.
Well, we'll see you in January. All right, we got a lot of movies. We're going to try to get to all of them. I don't think we'll succeed, but okay, Him, the first one, big one.
Yeah, so you may have seen trailers for this that make it out like, oh, from Jordan Peele. Well, Jordan Peele is just the producer on this movie. He's not the director.
Does not count.
So do not blame this on him. But this is a weird combination. It's a sports horror movie.
Okay.
We haven't seen a whole lot of, but it's about this this intense training that this football player undergoes to with an aging former star played by Marlon Wayans. Speaking of aging former stars, that was mean. I apologize.
I'm allowing it.
The vibe I'm getting is kind of Requiem for a Dream, although speaking of Marlon Wayans, weirdly enough, but not like through drugs, but more through this, you know, intensity and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it does not appear to be anywhere near as good a movie as Requiem for a Dream or a whole lot of anything else. 29% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, moving on. Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. This is the big star movie this week.
Yeah, this is so, you know, two Oscar nominees starring in this, Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie. It's a romantic film with kind of a sci-fi edge to it. They meet at a wedding and they end up going on this journey where they are able to go through doors to view each other's past. And things that happen in each other's past. And kind of a high concept. The trailers look fun. Reviews aren't necessarily bearing that out. They're running on the 46% range.
All right. Very low for a new one. All right. We've also got Afterburn.
Not screened for critics. And this is another one that, the trailers look very interesting. It's a science fiction movie starring Samuel L. Jackson and Dave Bautista. And I'm going to mispronounce this woman's name terribly, but Olga Kurish, the woman who played Taskmaster in Thunderbolts and Black Widow. She has a Russian last name that I cannot remember. This is about a world where the Eastern Hemisphere of the Earth has been destroyed, and these treasure hunters, led by Dave Bautista, are trying to seek out the Mona Lisa and get into all kinds of mischief from there. This was not screened for critics.
All right. Well, we're winning so far. We got nothing worth seeing yet, although maybe one concept movie.
Not a strong week.
The Senior. How about this? Is this another sports movie?
So this is another sports movie. So this is basically, as I've heard it summed up, the movie Rudy, if Rudy was a 56-year-old man.
Oh, okay. Michael Chiklis instead is the hero.
He goes back to college and is determined to, you know, get one game in, et cetera. This has actually been screened by very few critics. This is an inspirational film, and it's been mostly inspirational outlets that have reviewed it.
Okay.
So it is showing a 96% review on Rotten Tomatoes right now, but that is based only on 12 reviews. A lot of times those first few reviews can be very, you know, friendly outlets, so yep. We'll see how this bears out long term. By the way, if you do love the movie Rudy and you wanted to meet the real Rudy Redinger, the real life person who was the inspiration for that movie, you're going to get a chance to do that at PensaCon this week, February 20th through 22nd.
Nice. All right. Well, nice get. That's pretty good. The History of Sound.
This is a movie set just in the World War I era about these two men who meet and they make it their mission to go around the country recording recording music and recording original sounds.
Hmm.
And over the course of this time, they fall in love.
Okay. All right. We got three. We just don't have Megadoc.
So, Francis Ford Coppola, brilliant director who's made some of the best films that have ever been made, Apocalypse Now, The Godfather. Well, you know, there was a great documentary made, one of the best documentaries ever made, called Hearts of Darkness, that was made about the making of Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a movie, a documentary made about maybe one of the worst movies ever made, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, Megalopolis, which came out a year or two ago, and just completely bombed. The documentary, however, is getting very good reviews. So
a great documentary about a terrible movie. Okay. Yeah. London Calling or Xena? We only got time for one.
Both not screened for critics. London Calling is about a hitman who has to babysit his boss's son and teach him how to be a man. Xena is another science fiction movie about a young girl who befriends a very scary-looking alien and finds out that he is more than he appears to be.
Well, those actually sound kind of interesting. So, okay. We end with the best stuff. Julio, what are you going to watch next week? Do you know yet?
Not sure yet, but check out our Facebook group. We'll post it there.
Will do. Julio Diaz, host Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays when we don't have FSU football, as in tomorrow you won't hear him, but typically other Saturdays. And then the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Julio, thanks for the time and helping us figure out which movies are worth watching. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
8:15 News Radio 92.3, the Transgressors Memorial Service, the Woe Unto All Who Offend segment comes up next.
John Pickens. The
late service. That's right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still no accidents on the big board right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. Not seeing any delays on 98. Highway 90 or even Highway 29. Good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the words hamburger, ice cream, and karaoke. Now, it's important to understand this is not a global ban, which is normal for us, or even a local ban in the United States. Rather, this is a cancellation specifically in the People's Idyllic Democratic Paradise of North Korea. where dear beloved leader Kim Jong-un has issued a guidance to tour guides at resorts that cater to Westerners to avoid using these terms that embody, symbolize, and glorify the decadent Western culture. The problem is that South Koreans have become so enamored of the Western world that they have allowed their language to be polluted and corrupted by anglicized terminology, and Kim is just trying to protect the purity of his people's culture and, we must assume, his own precious bodily fluids. So now, those who interact with Westerners are undergoing an updated re-education seminar that will realign their words to reflect traditional North Korean language and values instead of the defiled South Korean culture with its bastardized language. For example, ice cream will no longer be called ice cream, but will now be referred to as ese-ukimo, the traditional Korean word for Eskimo. We're not quite sure why he chose Eskimo, since ice cream isn't usually the sort of thing that people in sub-zero biomes crave, but regardless of the sense of it, we cheer for the renaming as we do for all language shifts. Second word, karaoke, which comes from the Japanese word for empty orchestra. We're told that Kim doubly despises this term since oki derives from the English word for orchestra, but of course the entire term comes from Japan, not even Korean at all. So now when tourists want to drink and sing badly to music with little balls bouncing across the lyrics, they will go stand at the on-screen accompaniment machines. Same concept, just weirder terminology. Third, and perhaps most gloriously, Dear Leader has outlawed any use of the word hamburger, which obviously comes from the great Satan of, you know, us. The new mandatory term for hamburger will be Dajin Gogi Gie Opang, or double bread with ground beef, which, whether in Korean or in English, just rolls off the tongue. But that's the point of relanguaging. It's supposed to be awkward, since it's the anguished struggle to speak correctly, or at all, that best proves our virtue. And what could force people to think positive thoughts about their love for the glorious leader Kim Jong-un and their own personal purity any better than having to say words which no mouth can properly pronounce? Like, I'll have a double bread with ground beef, two sour brined cucumber slices with processed salted tomato puree, and three translucent subterranean vegetable rings. Hold the fermented processed dairy product, if you don't mind. But, you know, in Korean, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, we really need to take some time to consider the major events that have taken place in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk execution. Most notably, the indefinite suspension now of Jimmy Kimmel for his comments. Now, I know many of you are frustrated that two of our favorite late-night culture priests are about to depart the space. First, Stephen Colbert, and now, of course, Jim Kim. And yes, I know it feels like a big setback for our cause and a loss of free speech, but I want to tell you that the Fourth Interdisciplinary Committee on the Deconflicting of Recurrent Hypocrisy has ruled that the current state of affairs is actually very good for our cause, the grand cause of wokeism. For one thing, they wanted me to pass along their praise to everybody for doing a really great job of making it seem like the deplatforming of Jimmy Kimmel over his comments about the Charlie Kirk killing is far worse than even the actual killing of Charlie Kirk. You've been doing a fabulous job of loudly complaining about the temporary silencing of Jimmy Kimmel after barely criticizing the permanent silencing of, you know, Charlie Kirk. This, of course, follows all the very good work you did in reframing the entire Charlie Kirk assassination as a referendum on his most infamous comments rather than a discussion about political assassination. Those 3 summers in advanced elective seminars on the art and practice of distraction and attention shifting have really been paying off, so well done. For another thing, the committee reminds us that the things happening in our culture right now are actually working to our benefit, not the right. I know you're all concerned about people being fired for their comments, and yes, we're going to lose some waiters and some teachers and some media personalities in the short run, but trust me, this is great news long run, because the only thing really standing in our way before was the principled defense of freedom, which only the right was preaching. And now that they've abandoned their ability to complain about cancel culture, since they're so openly practicing it themselves, we no longer have to worry about seeming to be against freedom and tolerance. Right now, everybody's against freedom and tolerance. We've finally agitated them into giving up their core beliefs and becoming just like us. They're eagerly surrendering essential freedom in order to get a little temporary security. Bravo! Now, all we have to do is wait for the pendulum to swing power back in our direction, and nothing at all will stand in our way to fully and finally purge them mercilessly from our society. See, the reason we hadn't been able to do this before is because there were still people who believed in that quaint old idea of defending the speech rights of people who disagree with them. Also, and I don't want to announce this too prematurely, but I think we may we may be seeing the total abandonment of their supposed religious commitment to the principles of charity, grace, mercy, and kindness. This is so fantastic to see because now there's no moral high ground anymore. Just who's better at manipulation and being ruthless? And since we have the artists on our side, we feel confident we can win the propaganda war long term. So great news for the armies of progressivism everywhere. The arc of the moral universe really does bend toward the woke. Now, I know it feels scary because President No Way Jose is currently challenging the broadcast licenses of ABC and CBS, as well as calling to fire Seth Meyers and even Jimmy Fallon. But you got to think long term. Our best chance to capitalize on all this government censorship is to continue to let him keep abusing his power, which we can use against the Republicans in 2026 midterms by saying we will restore freedom of speech. Of course, we're only going to be saying that to get elected, knowing full well that once we're back in power, and hopefully the White House in 2028, we will do the exact same thing the Republicans are doing and deplatform all the homophobes and racists and sexists. You know, all the straight white men who have been ruining things for 246 years. Now, this may sound to you like a long shot because you're caught in the doldrums of the moment. But trust me, this is high probability winning political strategy. And the current administration's playing right into our hands. When Attorney General Pam Bondi says she'll use the government to punish hate speech, awesome! Hate speech is our game, baby! When Vice President J.D. Vance tells his audience to contact the employers of anyone who says what they dislike on social media, cool! Accountability is our game, baby! I mean, the chairman of the FCC, Brendan Carr, actually told a podcaster that TV station licenses could be revoked if broadcasters don't start controlling the content of their political coverage. Do you remember just a few years ago when they criticized the Biden administration for suppressing anti-vaxxers and mass skeptics on Twitter during COVID? Well, what you remember, they've clearly forgotten because they've come all the way over to our side and are actively using government agencies to coerce speech content on TV. They're literally following our playbook, as if they've been reading the protocols of the elders of anti-Zion in their spare time. You see, not only has the right abandoned its long-standing opposition to political correctness, cancel culture, and government censorship, they're even engaging in our most sacred tactic of distorting vocabulary by using terms with positive connotations to relabel a practice they previously opposed. Obviously, we've always been big champions of accountability because that makes it sound like people deserve to get punished for saying things we don't want to hear. And of course, we, you know, usually the right and even some on our side have called this censorship or repression or creating a chilling effect on speech. But no longer. No less a person than White House Deputy Chief of Staff Taylor Budowich even announced on X, "Welcome to the consequence culture." Consequence culture? Oh, we love that. We believe in cancel culture, which inflicts accountability on people for saying conservative things. And now they believe in consequence culture, which inflicts accountability on people for saying liberal things. This is a dream come true. So even though it'll hurt in the short run, trust us, this all works toward our objectives of limited freedom government-run society in the long run. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a quick but intense burst of praise for Ben Stiller, who reacted to the news about Jimmy Kimmel's indefinite suspension when he boldly declared, quote, "This isn't right," end quote. And then, just as boldly, disabled comments on the post. Symbolically, we have never before seen such a superior demonstration of our very core beliefs of self-righteousness and self-contradiction. He literally stood up for free speech by shutting off free speech. At this point, we have to just sit back, look on, and wonder, and give our heartiest praise to such a shamelessly hypocritical display. Mr. Stiller, we stand in awe of thee. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before you leave today, be sure to stop by the folding tables and back and sign up as part of the visitation team for Annette Franklin, who's been bedridden since Monday's traumatic and debilitating incident. Painfully, our dear sisterin was driving on 9 Mile Road going west toward Highway 29, decided to stop in for some groceries at the new Aldi. Unfortunately for Annette, she had not been aware that there is a new Tesla dealership going in at the same location. Well, we can all imagine the shock, horror, and panic that would beset any of us who suddenly and unwittingly came so close to a long line of Cybertrucks and Model 3s. Naturally, she suffered an anxiety attack and had to be treated medically by EMS. She's just lucky she didn't crash her car from the shock. But she's doing better now. She finally started eating solid foods and talking with the nurses just this morning. Gaia-luya.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
we can all imagine how horrifying that would be. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so we've got just one accident on the books right now. Boulder Avenue and Chicago Avenue is not causing any delays. Just wanted you to be aware of it. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. If I can get to my
good morning,
if I can get
David.
To my screen here. All right, President Trump suggesting the FCC should take licenses away from TV networks that are overwhelmingly critical of him. Trump said on Thursday that late night shows are against him and claimed, quote, they're not allowed to do that. Arizona officials say Sunday's memorial service for conservative activist Charlie Kirk will have a Super Bowl level security. The memorial is being held at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. And Hyundai planning to invest $2.7 billion into their plant in Georgia, the same site that was recently the target of an immigration raid that picked up 475 workers.
All right, David, thanks for the update. Hey, if you've been having signal issues listening on 92.3 or 95.3 this morning, there's an explanation I actually posted on our Facebook page. Solutions, AM 1620, digital 98.7, channel 3. Somebody says they listened to us all the way into Mississippi today, or just stream us on the app.
News. I'm Therese Crowley, making TikTok American. President Trump back from Britain and on the phone this morning with China's President Xi to finalize a deal by his China trade team to sell TikTok to an American buyer.
Sounds like they've approved TikTok, and TikTok is a tremendous amount of money for the United States, so that was nice.
Federal prosecutors expect to wrap up their case against would-be Trump assassin Ryan Ruth in Florida federal court. The judge only allowed three sentences of Ruth's 12-page Dear World letter to be read into evidence with a line, this was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. The CDC vaccine advisory panel meets for a second day about changing the schedule for small kids' vaccine shots. Thursday, the panel voted to recommend breaking up the huge MMR chickenpox shot for children under four into two shots. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. 72 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Pegasus Laboratories held a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday to mark the official opening of their new expanded Pensacola facility. Officials say it's a key development in the company's mission to enhance animal health across the nation. The expansion includes a 172,000-square-foot facility that will significantly boost manufacturing capacity and provide state-of-the-art laboratory spaces.
Pegasus is soup to nuts. We try to identify the molecule, we build the chemistry, and we do all the testing and all the things to get FDA approval, of course, but then we commercialize. So we're A to Z in terms of how we operate.
CEO Steve Clifford, that project is supported by a $2.5 million grant from Triumph Gulf Coast. Clifford says the expansion could create as many as 70 new jobs in highly skilled roles. It was big news all across Northwest Florida economically yesterday. Leonardo Helicopters celebrating the grand opening of its Florida Support Center yesterday in Santa Rosa County. The $65 million facility is located just across from Naval Air Station Whiting Field. They provide maintenance and logistics support for the U.S. Navy's TH-73A helicopters.
Whiting Aviation Park is focused on bringing high-skilled jobs, investment, economic growth to Florida's Great Northwest. What does that mean to our military community? When you retire, you come here for the beaches, but you build a foundation. You stay here. And to whom much is given, much is required. I believe our state and our nation are better when our veterans are happy, healthy, and involved in that next ridgeline.
Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins there. Governor Ron DeSantis was also at the ceremony. The company emphasized the collaborative efforts that they say made the center a reality. They also say the recent governor's recent trip to the Paris Air Show included several meetings with Leonardo representatives that helped to make the deal a reality. Former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Florida, Alexander Acosta, appearing before a House committee today, subpoenaing the estate of Jeffrey Epstein for possible mismanagement of the federal government's investigation. Attorney David Weinstein says he's not expecting any new information
facts
to come out of this.
The facts are. He believed that it was the best resolution at the time, given the facts and circumstances.
FBI Director Kash Patel testified before Congress on Tuesday, blaming Acosta for approving a 2008 deal allowing Epstein to avoid hefty federal charges by pleading guilty to Florida state charges of soliciting a prostitute. Well, the NAS Pensacola Blue Angels homecoming air show has been pushed back a week to November 14th and 15th. This is due to a scheduling conflict with the Blue Angels' commitment to another event celebrating the Navy's birthday. Ticket holders of the preferred premium seating will retain their access and seats for those new dates. The event marks the conclusion of the Blue Angels' annual schedule. And you heard it on Fox News, Grammy-winning country music songwriter Brett James, who does have local connections and has performed numerous times at the local Songwriters Festival events, died in a plane crash yesterday in North Carolina. James wrote many popular country and pop songs, including Miranda Lambert's Let God Take the Wheel and Kenny Chesney's Out Last Night. James was recently performing alongside fellow songwriters John Knight and Chris DeStefano at an event back in June downtown in Pensacola, and he was set to perform with them again at an event in November at the Frank Brown Songwriters Festival. James was also a pilot. He was flying the plane that crashed yesterday. 8:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We do have a beautiful day in store for us today. Plenty of sunshine, high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. Going into Saturday, 5% chance of a stray sprinkle, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Looking beautiful into Sunday, plenty of sunshine, high near 90 degrees. And by Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 72 and partly cloudy. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. We cleared up that early one on the big board. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And it is partly cloudy, 72. And your money now this morning. Our markets are up at the opening bell, but not by a whole lot. The Dow's up 7 points, 46,149. S&P 500 up 11 points. 66.43, NASDAQ up 79 points at 22,551. 10-year bond rate up at 4.12% today. Gold prices up $8.40, 36.86.70. Silver up just about a quarter at 42.36. And crypto down across the board. Bitcoin down just about 1,200 at 116.272. Ethereum's down 73 and a quarter. Solana down just over $7. Dogecoin down by about a tenth of a cent. XRP down just over a nickel as well. Taking a look at a few of our financial headlines this morning. Harvard Medical School reducing its research work by at least 20% during the current fiscal year. The decision to scale back research is linked to the federal government's decision to impose a steep tax in Harvard's endowment, the medical school using tens of millions of dollars in emergency stopgap funding to cover the rest of the lost money. 8:37, our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
To the hip, the hip, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance for us to talk about the news of the week with some friends here in the studio. I've got Jonathan Owens and Jeremy Evans with me today. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to have you back for the many, many times you've been here. I appreciate that.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
By the way, just a note. First of all, I was going to say, you know, good people get asked back. Sometimes people that are good don't get asked back just because I'm dumb. I forget people. You know, I sometimes think if people are on and then I don't ask them back like for 9 months, do they think I thought back? No, I just forget or don't do a good job of that. Also, I need to correct something I said last week, if anybody remembers. We talking about James C. Johnson and the drag show at the Sanger and all that. It was, in fact, his son who had called that I had talked with. I have since talked with the pastor. We're actually getting together for coffee. But I just want to clarify the things that were not said by James Johnson, but said by his son, Andrew. Great name. Anyway, back to – I even went to their church over the weekend. I attended their church service over the weekend. All right. So, man, we have so much. And I so want to do the Escambia stuff because it's so interesting. But, I mean, the only news story in the universe right now is the Charlie Kirk and the FCC and Jimmy Kimmel and all of this stuff. And, Jeremy, you and I were talking off the air that you can't really understand this story, not fully, unless you also understand the financial things going on in the background that some people are talking about, rightly so.
I think that there's financial things on multiple levels. You have what are advertisers going to do? We saw what happened with Bud Light several years ago. Mm-hmm. We saw what happened more recently with Cracker Barrel, where there is some financial impact that can absolutely happen to these things, and companies want to get ahead of things. Thing one.
Yeah.
Thing two, I believe that late night viewership is on over the network television is dying. People are going to the Kelce Brothers podcast or Call Her Daddy or Joe Rogan or to any of those places to get those kind of interviews with celebrities and the people they like. And
or
then,
funnier or edgier or
any
better
of those,
versions of whatever they
exactly.
think. Exactly. Yeah. Or and more then, niche to them, you know, whatever.
And then thirdly, which is the far more murky but far more interesting thing, is the relationship between FCC and these broadcasters and people trying to... I think we'll do this to make sure that in the future, if we need a ruling about a merger or we need a ruling about something that we want to do, and some of these companies have been involved in merger conversations with the FCC and what's allowed and what's not allowed for 10, 15, 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that anything they can do to parlay favor, to garner some positive in a future ruling, they are willing to do. There may not be an actual like handshake, if you do this for us, we'll do that for you, but they're definitely trying to get some points on the board for a future a need.
So here's the story that you didn't give the details on. I want to make sure people have the details because it's really worth knowing. So you've got Nexstar is wanting to merge with Tegna, two massive companies, and it's a $6 billion merger. The problem is that you have to have special permission from the FCC if you ever are going to acquire enough broadcasting licenses to put you over 39% penetration into the United States market. And this would put them well over that, close to almost 80%. It's like a huge merger. So in order to get the favor of the FCC to sign off on your excessive penetration into U.S. marketplace, when the FCC says, you know, what you need to do is get rid of this late night host who made some remarks that the president doesn't like. And oh, by the way, we know that he's losing you money and the viewership is going away anyway. And Stephen Colbert was the number one, and even he got canceled for financial reasons. This is a good enough time for you to get rid of Jimmy Kimmel. Let's make it seem like it's about what Jimmy Kimmel said that was so offensive. But in the deal, if maybe, you know, hint, hint, if maybe you guys drop him and reform, I don't know, maybe this merger exemption might be allowed to go through a little bit easier. That's and the problem with that is it's going to look like the censorship wins. And it's going to facilitate the power of the FCC or the president to say, I don't like the way this content is being presented. You better shape up. And so even though it may not be for that reason, the appearance is terrifying. Because, I mean, now they're talking about The View, for goodness sakes. Are you kidding me? We want Brendan Carr, the FCC chairman, should not be dictating content. That is literally 1984 stuff. That's crazy to me.
So... That's a lot.
I know.
That's a lot for the average listener, viewer, to anybody to consume. I'll put this to my drive this morning with my daughters to school. You said something about checks and balances. Mm-hmm. So my 10-year-old's telling me about checks and balances. This is a fine opportunity for Congress to institute some checks and balances over, the FCC.
Right.
And so it will be, you know, let justice roll in our Constitution and our founding documents do their thing, if that's the way it ends up going. But you're right. It looks really, really bad. It will look really, really bad.
And Congress has oversight over the FCC. Congress has impeachment power. I mean, you know, at least I think they do. Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't looked to see specifically, but I would assume they can, if they wanted to, impeach Brendan Carr or bring a motion. And I mean, I'm telling you, that's where my brain is at right now. Is I'm thinking, the FCC chairman is openly talking about fix your content or consequences.
Yeah.
And what in the world? As awful as the underlying thing is, the FCC chairman should not be talking that way ever. I mean, and
I think that like the other thing about this is for as long as I have been alive, and I don't know how much before that, we've talked about how, you know, I'm air quoting here for those who can't see, the left controls the media, right? And I think over the past 5 to 10 years, technology has opened up avenues for that to get evened out.
Right.
There have been some dangers in that because I think we've gotten into some echo chambers where we're only listening to the things that we agree with as opposed to other viewpoints.
Based on what the algorithm feeds
you. Based on what the algorithm feeds you, yeah, and the technology and those kind of things. But I do think
the algorithm does the worst balkanizing of the idea subcultures
but
what you could ever have.
What drives media? Advertising.
Eyeballs and attention. Sure. Right. Time spent scrolling. Right. Go ahead, Jeremy. Sorry.
I think that it is something where we don't need to be that afraid. Like, should we allow people to control the narratives on what happens over the air networks? No. In my opinion, is the fear of the only information that we get doctored or politicized by the opposite side of what a lot of Americans believe. I think that's gone way down because people have found other avenues to get their information, news, entertainment from.
And by the way, you know, though I have been very critical and still am of how the president's responding. I mean, he's, you know, look, oh, they're all negative to me. Why should they have a broadcast license? What the deuce are you talking about?
He can say that.
He can say that. But to actually threaten it, to use the power to implement the FCC to do the dirty work, I mean, you know, the jawboning effect that's going on where they're threatening it, that concerns me greatly. But there's another side. I'll tell you in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even 90, 98 looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I hate to say what I'm about to say because I'm so emphatic about what's wrong about what's being done right now. But it is worth saying that bad behavior invites government intervention. Bad behavior invites restricting freedom based on the bad actors. If enough kids go out and graffiti, you know, the buildings at night, they're going to put in a curfew. And if enough people are saying ridiculously stupid, morally wicked, protected, but stupid and morally wicked things online or in public, the other side is going to invite the government in to solve this problem. And that's always a danger with free speech. I hate to have to acknowledge that, but if they'd have done a better job of being more fair, if they'd have done a better job of being balanced, if they'd have, you know, we wouldn't be in this place.
Pendulum, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
It's the pendulum swing. And it will balance out somewhere in the middle, either at a future election or, you know, whatever.
But I think
or not a future election.
Or not
know?
A future
election. I mean, just, you know.
There's a weird thing that happens where what's happening locally. I believe that Jimmy Kimmel or anybody who's a late night host or an athlete or any of those things where as you go up the fame ladder, public image is part of your job.
Yep.
And if your public image changes, the people who pay you money are paying you for part of that public image. And so what happens to you,
that's a great way to put it,
bothers me, but it doesn't bother me as much as the person who is the medical assistant at the hospital who posted something that I disagree with, and they're going to get fired because they get called out. And the question is, what happens at the very top that we talk about? Does it feed the cancel culture or whatever we want to call it of what's happening?
They're now
with
calling it consequence culture.
Consequence
That's what the
culture
White House deputy
of what
staff
happened
called
to
it.
The Texas Roadhouse in Milton. Right. Like, are we feeding that, or is what's going to happen going to cause people to pull the reins on that and say, okay, the pendulum has swung too far, we need to stop? Because if it's going to provide cover for those decisions, that almost troubles me way more than the FCC, because I think what's happening to regular people who are expressing an opinion that I disagree with and they're losing their jobs, they don't have millions of dollars in the bank like Jimmy Kimmel does. How are we, how do we affect those people?
Right. And I mean, I've said many times that social media is not healthy for us. I mean, everybody shouldn't have a newspaper. Everybody shouldn't have a TV station. It's showing. We are the anonymity. Even though your name is on it, it's still like a not. Like, you don't talk this way to people in real life. And that's showing the kind of crass, rude, mean, contemptuous behavior, which, of course, the algorithm reinforces. The conversations aren't healthy. And no, you're free to have them, but they're not helping.
They're half duplex, right? Press your turn to talk, my turn to talk, your turn to talk, my turn to talk.
Yeah.
Because there's no consequences when there's something that's half duplex. You and I can have a conversation sitting right here in the radio. If we disagree, I'm not going to come over and, like, you know, stab you in the neck or punch you in the face.
Right.
Unless it's something that you deserve to be stabbed in the neck or punched in the face for, in my opinion. But you're right. The civility part of social media is what is lost, because there are no consequences. What's somebody going to report you to the boss? I'm going to report you to Facebook, and they're going to decide whether you can say what you want to say or not. It's a platform that you get what you pay for, right? It's free. You're not paying.
Oh, well, and that's a whole
that goes back to what you were saying, Jeremy, about does the citizen that gets fired for what they said at work, is that something scary? In my opinion, I don't think it's something scary. You get paid for your opinion.
Oh, yeah. No, so, like, I have
get
no
paid
problem.
For my service or my opinion or whatever. If I show up to work and I'm like, you know, F whatever, and my boss is like, hey, you can't say F whatever. Okay, F whatever. Okay, you're fired. I'm fired. I just went against what you told me I couldn't do, so therefore there are consequences.
But isn't – so the position I've been taking pretty consistently is that if it's me, fine. I mean, product is ideas, you know? And Jimmy Kimmel – look, Jimmy Kimmel's product is ideas too. Does that mean I think the government should be – no.
Yeah.
But should if individuals want to boycott Jimmy Kimmel, I actually have no problem with that. If they want to change the channel because they don't like, I mean, that's perfectly, you know, within their power. Calling for everybody else to, you know, I don't love that because it's kind of, but still, the product is the content. But when the product is the, you know, laying the IT cable or fixing the car or doing the medical work, capitalism is supposed to separate these things. We don't buy products because they come from the Christian or the Jew or the atheist or the, you know, pro Charlie Kirk or anti Charlie Kirk. You know, we should learn not to care about that because we should just want the best product or service. Of course, we live in a culture where that's become, everything has become, like Jeremy said, you know, it's not just the superstar athlete that's got the brand. It's, you know, my transmission place is also pro Trump. What the? Stop it. You know, let's just make transmissions.
But so. I think something else that I find to be really interesting about the Jimmy Kimmel case, and it would be interesting to know, I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel and a lot of the news I read, but it feels like in this situation, nobody really knew about the Jimmy Kimmel, what he said and what happened until after he was removed from television.
Manufactured rage.
It appeared to me something that there wasn't an organic call for Jimmy Kimmel to be step aside. It was a very quick decision from a corporate entity that said, you said this, we don't want to walk this line, you're done, before there could be kind of what you're talking about, the free market of ideas or the free market of comic, you know, to come forth and say, no, you're not going to do that to us.
Fear of retribution
public. But was that manufactured by Brennan Carr's comments and the need to get the approval for the merger? That's way too swift to just, as you say, be an organic thing. Or this is how we learn to behave in a place where we're scared of government intervention. So let's switch gears a little bit because, I mean, we've talked about this a lot. And, I mean, not that we shouldn't. These are the conversations that everybody is having. But I do want to get, because I've got you guys here and you're both Escambia County political experts.
Some of us more than others.
True. Yeah. I have been all day railing against this decision to put the superintendent elected versus appointed on the primary ballot instead of the general election ballot. I can't for the life of me make any sense of it unless it's a political maneuver in order to avoid having Democrats show up in order to get a result that we want, which is to go back to an elected superintendent. And I don't really care about the outcome one way or the other. I think they're both models with advantages and disadvantages. But the idea that the school board wants to apparently prefer the primary, they do want to prefer the primary, but for the why of it, and that the county commission, at least three, stood up and said, no, this should be at the general election. What are you doing? But only three. That bothers me. That's gaming the system for a political outcome. And I don't know. Feel free to disagree with me. Obviously, you're welcome to, but
Fire away, Jeremy. I want to hear your professional opinion.
So to be clear, I thought that, and I should pay more attention, that the county commission wanted to get an opinion from the attorney general.
That's right.
And that's where they
left it to move it to the general if they think they can. Right.
I don't 100% get why the school board, to me, moving from an appointed to an elected superintendent is kind of the school board telling me they can't do their job.
100%.
That they are...
It's weird, right?
We want to have less power.
We can't control things.
And then the other thing that
we can't handle taking the blame for the things we do control. Yeah.
And so I don't understand that piece of it. And then secondly, I choose to have my daughter in a private school. We do not attend public schools. That's a choice that my family made for itself. So I am not super well aware, invested in the quality of education in our public schools, other than as a citizen of the county and what we're turning out.
And my kids are past it now,
but
right?
From what I can tell and what I can gather from folks that I talk to, the quality of public education in Escambia County has not changed significantly for the better or for the worse from when we went to an appointed superintendent to from an elected superintendent. But that is a pretty ill-informed opinion.
I think things have gotten better in the last basically 2 years. I think that they have gotten better. The question of whether that's because of the Children's Trust, whether because of the change to Keith Leonard, whether because of something else, I think it's a little hard to draw all the direct lines of responsibility. But when Paul Fetsko the other day was talking in justification of increasing the sales tax from 1 to 1.5 mils for the capital improvement fund, which I don't agree with, but the case he was making was we got to keep doing what we've been doing because it's been working. They're actually right about that. I think it has been getting a little bit better. But yeah, it's weird for the school board to say we want to go to an elected superintendent, 3-2 vote, but we want to keep the guy we've got as the appointed superintendent when we have an elected superintendent. Like, they love Keith Leonard. That's what? It's just weird.
So I currently have one in public, one in private. They were both in public, but one's transitioned to middle school. And once, like you said, I mean, you make a conscious decision on what you do with your kids at what level of their education. I made a conscious decision to put my 11-year-old, when she reached middle school, into private school. Further precipitated that was the step up, you know, the grant program,
the scholarship, the voucher,
and one's currently in public, one's currently in private. My two oldest daughters, one exclusively went to private school her entire life. My oldest daughter exclusively went to public school her entire life. Now, of course, that's different generations. You know, things have changed, as far as the elected versus.
Hey, can you pause for just a second? Let's get last traffic break with John Pickens. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Everything is looking good and flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. So you've seen a lot of different paths.
Every angle of it, right? The elected versus appointed school superintendent, we're going to change it. I mean, we just had this.
Right. We haven't given it enough time to grow.
It hasn't had enough time, and I agree with you 100%. I think this is the school board saying, golly gee, this book stuff and all this stuff that we've done over the past couple of years is really hard. Why can't we just blame it on the school board superintendent?
Back when nobody cared who the school board was and didn't listen to him because the only thing that matters is what Malcolm Thomas was saying.
Yeah. That's right. And I absolutely think it is a horrible, horrible decision to not have this on the general election ballot.
100%.
This is something that... we need as many voices as possible coming together to say this is what's going to happen. And I think there is, if you want to keep Keith Leonard, there is absolutely no rush to have this decision in August versus November. Mm-hmm. There is no time crunch. It's not like we don't have a superintendent. We want to get one before the school year happens.
Right.
And so we want to make this switch. August, November makes no time difference whatsoever. The only thing that you're changing is what's a likely electorate. And there, to me, seems to be very little reason to not have this on the general election ballot because there is no time crunch on this decision happening,
right.
Particularly when you're going to keep the guy you have for whenever this decision's made. So why do we need to do this in August versus November?
And I always hate to think people have motives that are problematic. I do. I would always rather find a way to see it clear that, oh, well, I can see why you do that. I think you're wrong, but I can see why you do that. I look at this decision and I've listened to all the things the school board has said and I can't see any reason to do this other than not any plausible reason other than we want to game the electoral system Have as few Democrats show up to vote for this as possible. Get the Republicans who are going to vote for an elected, and then we can get our way.
Get
the way we want to have happen, which is to go back to the old system.
They, meaning the school board, wants to raise taxes.
And it's only three out of them. It's Paul Fetsko, Kevin Adams, and Tom Harrell. It's not Carissa Bergosh or David Williams, and this will be clear about that. But anyway, go ahead.
Every citizen in Escambia County that owns real estate or doesn't own real estate, tenants pay, renters also pay taxes.
Indirectly, of course.
Every one of them is going to be affected by the fact that the taxes are going to go up if the school board, whatever the vote shook out to be, gets their way. Why not every single citizen that has the opportunity to vote should be able to vote on this?
Right.
I mean,
and by the way, that vote was 3-2, by the way, also to increase the Kevin Adams and Tom Harrell, I think, voted against it.
Your kids go to private school. You still pay taxes for kids to go to public, for public school. We should all be able to vote on this, and we're getting the music, so it sounds like we're over.
Yeah, that's what happens, unfortunately. We're all so out of time. Oh, I hate it. All right, well, guys, I really appreciate you joining me today, talking about some tough stuff, as always. But Jeremy Evans and Jonathan Owens, I appreciate the time.
Thanks.
Go Argos. We'll see you on Monday. Thanks for listening.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com.